Toronto will drop their fourth out of the last five. They'll head to Buffalo to play the Sabres. 7 seconds to go. And Pecorine is going to have two shutouts against the second most potent offense in the NHL.
Don't adjust your radios. It is not still Darren and Donick, although Willie Donick on the call last night as the Predators beat the Maple Leafs on 90s night. Three in a row, a shutout for Pecorine, two impressive wins against the San Jose Sharks and now the Toronto Maple Leafs, and 1 week removed from Armageddon on Jared and the GM after the loss to Anaheim. Here we are, Floyd Reese. The Predators have won three in a row, including two straight against playoff teams. What do we think? And this is how I'm going to start the show today. And I'm going to ask the simple question. Have they turned the corner? Have they turned the corner? Three in a row for the first time since the beginning of February. Three in a row. Two beautiful wins against good teams. Secondary scoring all around. Only Forsberg was the frontline guy who scored last night, and that was an empty netter. They're playing defense again. Floyd, have they turned the corner?
Well, I don't know if I can get there. But are they playing better? Yes, they are. You know, what we talked about this yesterday, and in my mind, I'm hoping that this is the beginning of a really nice, you know, three or four or five game stretch where you can look at it and you can really feel good about where they are and how they're playing and, you know, whether or not they win. You know, you always want to win, but that won't be the be-all to end-all. In my mind, I think you went out. I thought they went out and played well last night. I thought they played a fairly consistent game. That is, there were a couple of dips here and there and a couple of them out, but no real, you know, gigantic drop into the abyss kind of periods. So, I mean, they went along, banged along. I think you could look at every area and say, you know, it was pretty good. Everything was pretty good. Nothing was great in my mind. Pekka was great, of course, but I mean, I'm not sure there were a lot of great things, but everything was really good. So I think it is very, very encouraging.
I think they're starting to turn the corner. I do. And I know everyone's going to say, here's Stillman. Last week, he's throwing a chair in his living room during the Anaheim game. And here he is after just three wins, and he is sitting there. They look like a different team. They don't even look like the same team that they were a week ago. And I looked up at the shot count last night when I'm at the game, and I kept looking at the shot count, and it's 17 shots, 14 shots, 20 shots. It wasn't one of these crazy 39-shot performances that the Predators have been allowing. And the reason the Predators weren't getting a lot of shots is because they were packing it in defensively and they were playing Preds hockey. They were playing defensive hockey, which we've been hearing for a couple of weeks when things weren't going well. We heard it from Crispy. We heard it from Chris Mason. We heard it from everybody saying they've got to get back to their identity. And then we ask, what is the identity? And everyone says, well, I think the identity is defense. Well, last night, defense. They knew that if they tried to get into a track meet with Toronto, they were going to get their butts kicked. And so they packed it in, and they weren't too aggressive offensively. They took their chances, and they were great defensively. And that, to me, is what I want to see. That's the identity. That's who they're supposed to be, is defense, defense, defense. And they didn't leave Pekka out to dry, which when you don't leave the goalie out to dry, you give the goalie a chance to turn in the performance he turned in last night. Also, we talked about it yesterday on the show. Greg Wyshynski of ESPN said, most disappointing trade deadline acquisition, Wayne Simmonds. And who had the biggest goal of the game last night to give them the 2-0 lead that really kind of gave them some breathing room and forced Toronto to chase the game? Wayne Simmonds.
The best part about that goal was him on the bench afterwards. He was so excited. I mean, he was just thrilled. He was like a little kid that had just won his first game. That was great.
So I'm sitting there when they scored early. That was a beautiful give and go from Boyle to Craig Smith. I mean, just a beautiful. Boyle gives it to him. I'm sitting there maybe 20 rows above the goal. And I'm sitting there and I see Boyle's got the puck on his stick. And I'm like, shoot it! Shoot the puck! And he passes to Craig Smith. And I'm like, shoot it! Shoot the puck! And Craig Smith doesn't shoot it. And I'm about to go down there and wring somebody's neck. And all of a sudden, Craig Smith dishes it back to Boyle. He shoots it. I'm like, goal! Like, it was a beautiful give and go from Boyle to Smith. Boyle has been worth his weight. We talk about, you know, when's Granlin, you know, he's showing a little signs. And Simmons had a goal last night, which was good. But Boyle has been the big acquisition that has come in here and has made a huge impact. Boyle with the give and go with Smith last night, that was beautiful. I thought there was a period in time, I want to say in the second period last night, where they could not get the puck out of their own zone to save their lives. And I think they had to ice it twice or three times in a row. And I look down there and everybody is bent over their sticks on their knees and their hands on their hips. And I'm like, uh-oh, this isn't going to be good. Because I see popping over the boards, I see Matthews and Tavares, and I'm like, uh-oh. And the defense held and Pekka held, and they ended up, you know, going into the locker room. I mean, the energy was there. The execution was there. The focus defensively was there. And I don't know if this is like a one-game aberration where they show us, hey, when we put our minds to it, we can go out there and play like this. Or if, as Mattias Ekholm said on Smashville Live a couple weeks ago, of, hey, the last 10 games of the year, we got to get it going. And if that's what they're doing now that they're in the last 10 games of the year, is that they're getting it going. I don't know if it's one or the other, but my gut tells me that they're getting it going. I mean, my gut tells me they're starting to turn the corner. Like, we were wondering all year, were they just going to pack it in until it was playoff time? And it looks like they're starting to unpack it. And call me crazy, but I'm starting to think they're turning that corner, Floyd. I am starting to think it.
I thought they were really aggressive last night, which I liked. I mean, they were everywhere. I didn't think they had a chance to get going on offense because the Preds were all over them. I mean, they were both ends in the neutral zone. Wherever they were, there were Preds. I mean, and they were slashing at them or trying to knock them down, check them. They're trying to do something. So I really, really liked that part of the game. They had great – you hit it. They had great energy, I thought. So, I mean, all in all, I mean, it was as for me, as good a total game as I've watched for a while.
Oh, yes.
Because no real valleys, you know, no real, well, we played good in the first, but then in the second we disappeared. I mean, they dropped a little bit in the second, I thought, but not much and came right back in the third. So, I mean, it was a really, really positive win. And I think in my mind, you know, I think it's a good first step or second step, depending on how you want to look at San Jose. And now, you know, these next two or three or four, or however many games, I don't care about the last couple. The last couple are against, you know,
Chicago.
This guys. Yeah. So, I mean, these next few against the playoff teams, I think will be big. This Pittsburgh game's going to be big, you know, just not from a win loss, although you want to win it, but just from a standard, you know, where are we? Can we do this on a consistent basis or not?
What did you think when Arvidsson went down?
I
was worried. Yeah, I was 10 rows up and I saw that, yeah. And I go, oh, crap.
I mean, you know, he's been everything. I mean, he is.
So when he's laying
special
there like that, you know that it must have hurt. And so I saw that. I got a little worried there. But then he comes right back in the game. So that's how we're starting today. 615-737-1025. Here's the question. Have the Preds turned the corner? My vote, yes. I think they're turning the corner. Now, I know as soon as I say this, they're going to go out there and lose 5-1 tomorrow to Pittsburgh and 6-2 to Winnipeg on Saturday. But I don't care. I think they are turning the corner. 615-737-1025. Floyd, I think you're in the we'll see mode.
Oh, yeah.
Is that where I put you at?
Yes.
We'll see.
We'll see.
I'm saying yes. 615-737-1025. The other business. How about them Belmont Bruins last night?
What a nice win.
Oh, how about them Bruins? And I got to tell you, I am watching the game, and I'm sitting there. I sprinted home. What I did was probably not safe. I'd get home, so drive safely. I sprinted home to watch the end of that Belmont game. And I was watching it on my phone in the at the stadium during the Preds game. But I'm watching the game at home. And every time Temple made a big play where you thought, oh, no, here comes Temple, Belmont would hit back-to-back threes, or they'd throw it into the big kid, and the big kid would go to work, and he'd have two straight buckets. And that Belmont team was relentless. They were well-coached. They have good players, and they can shoot the ball. And I'm watching this thinking to myself, Belmont is probably not really an 11 seed. Belmont is probably like an 8 or 9 seed. And it's not fair for Maryland that they're going to have to play Belmont in the first round. And I think Belmont's going to beat them. I do. I love this Belmont team. I love them. So I am rooting my butt off for Belmont because, you know, that's how we feel about the little guys here is we can root for the little guys and we don't have to get on them when they lose. So it's not like Tennessee. It's not like the Titans or the Predators. I loved it. And congratulations to Belmont. And congratulations to Rick Bird and to those players and to everything that they've been through as a program from playing their games, you know, at Municipal to getting the Curb Center built to being Division One to being in an NCAA tournament to now winning an NCAA tournament game. Congratulations to Belmont. What a great night and what a great win. And I think they're going to beat Maryland. So I wanted to throw that out there.
Okay.
You echo the same thoughts. Congratulations to Belmont.
Oh, I thought Belmont was outstanding. And the best part about it was they were resilient because there were times in that game that it did not look good.
You know, Temple's not – they do not have a bad team.
But they battled through it, worked their way back. I think they had, you know I thought their top guy, their big guy, was taken out of the game, and everybody else responded. Just the way you would want a team to react to that.
Belmont would
you
know, hit some of those threes.
Somebody comes and they take away your star player. What do? Give up? No, you got to find another way to do it. And I think the big guy, the freshman center, I mean, he bad ankle and everything, had a tremendous game. And they should be congratulated. Rick Bird ought to be congratulated. I mean, that was a fantastic win for the school, for the program, for Nashville, for the kids, for the coach, for everybody.
All right, let's get your phones on the Preds. 615-737-1025. Have the Preds turned the corner. And coming up next, Floyd is a defensive coach. Floyd is all about identity. Did he feel last night that we saw the Preds' defensive identity? What do we think? 615-737-1025. We'll get into that coming up next. We're live from the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. in Mount Juliet. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Kind of the biggest difference he's noticed in defensive zone coverage has just been the work ethic. Do you agree with that, even if there's a little bit more to it than that?
Absolutely. I think the game is all about speed and competitiveness, and tonight we played a really fast team, and they were competitive as well as things hadn't gone their way as of late, and we knew what we were in for, so we knew we were going to get a good game out of Toronto. I really liked our game and the way that we tried to play our game, and like I said, the first and third, I thought we did a good job. It was a terrific hockey game, but when the second period came around and we spent too much time in our end, I thought our guys defended really well. And so that's a big part of it as you move towards the playoffs as well.
Floyd, you love defense, don't you?
Sure.
And you love identity, don't you?
Sure.
Did you think last night was the typical Preds identity kind of game where they get a little scoring from everybody? First line scores one, third line scores one, second line scores one, and then they play defense, and not just the goalie who had a great game last night in Pekka, but that they as a team went out there and played good, solid, tight defense. You heard Laviolette say, I love the way that we played last night.
You know, I thought last night was an odd game because they spent so much time just going up and down the ice. I mean, they didn't, you know how they'll get locked into one end or the other and seems like they're there for 10 minutes. There was none of that. You know, it was back and forth and back and forth and, you know, icing here and icing there and icing here and, you know, long passes. And I mean, I thought it was a different kind of game. I thought that they I mean, my impression was early they were going to try to use all their speed, found out they couldn't do it. That's why I thought we were really aggressive, because when they tried to do all that stuff, we just hung right with them the whole time. Mm-hmm. And so it didn't get out of hand either way. But, I mean, I thought we were opportunistic on our shots and were good there. But, I mean, there were only – I mean, there weren't even 40 shots in the whole game, both teams. So, I mean, it's, you know, nobody was shooting. Nobody.
But isn't that how you want to play if you're a defensive team?
Well, yeah, well, whatever we were, they were too.
Well, but they're not a defensive team.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, their money is we in
didn't
Tavares.
Get any, we didn't get any shots either. So, I mean, there weren't 40 shots between the two teams.
I know, but if you're a defensive football team, you want to win 9-6. You don't want to win, you know, 28-27. And that's my thing is if you're a defensive hockey club and the shots are down, that's a good thing.
Unless your shots are down, then they're playing as good a defense as you are. So that's, I mean, I don't, that's why I couldn't correlate it, because it wasn't, if they would have had 16 shots and we'd have had 35, I'd have said, yep, exactly right. But I mean,
well, that's just a butt kicking.
We had 16, they had 18, you know, I mean, whatever it was. So I didn't think they were ever going to have a chance to get in it. I didn't think they were going to score on Becca. I didn't care what happened.
Really? Oh, I thought when it was 1-0 for forever, I was just waiting until Toronto was going
to
score.
No, I didn't think they were going to score. I didn't think, because we were, they didn't, there was nothing clear for them. I mean, there weren't, you know, they were molested the whole time. Mm-hmm. I thought they had a tough time keeping the puck down in their offensive zone. I mean, we were on them, like you said, defensively, we were on them. Pucks going back the other way, and so it was an unusual game.
How about that Pekka save last night?
Oh, he played outstanding.
And that one save, though, on Tavares, where he saved it twice, that was unbelievable.
Two or three times. At the end, he's swiping at it with his stick. It looked like he did about 100 times. try to get that thing out of there.
I will say that is, when you're a defensive team, that it was a defensive hockey game against an offensive team, and that's what I like. And I got to tell you, there was a point in the second period where they had iced the puck two times in a row, and they were gassed. And they had sticks on hips, and all of a sudden you see Matthews and Tavares jump over the boards, and you think, oh, crap. But they held together, and a defensive team with a defensive victory. Let's go to your phones. 615-737-1025 is promised. Chris is going to kick us off. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, guys. Yeah, Jared, I couldn't agree with you more. I think they're turning the corner. I think they're on the on-ramp and about ready to hit the interstate and go full throttle. So Pekka looked nails last night. He was phenomenal. I give a lot of credit to the other guys, too. They helped him make it happen. So my question is, I kind of wanted, Floyd, I wanted you to put on your coach's hat, your general manager's hat. I thought the only thing last night was lacking was the $6 million man. You know, I mean, Turris is out there, and, you know, besides just one shot that I saw him take, I didn't really see him, you know, put up anything, you know, much for, you know, do anything much, any good. So, you know, Floyd, what would you do in a situation like that when you have somebody that's in a extended slump? And I know it's hockey, not football, but, you know, what would you do? And then, you know, Jared, where do we go forward if Turris doesn't, you know, get better? So I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Chris.
I think the hard part about – two things are really, really hard about this in my mind, which is, I mean, he's somebody that's going to be here, and it's somebody that can help you win. And what you have to be able to do if he's willing. Now, I'm assuming there are no problems, which may be a bad assumption. You know, he had that broken foot or whatever it is. That thing may be really bothering him. I mean, there may be some underlying factors that we don't know anything about that could be, you know, real problems. But other than that, if it's just a slump and if it's just mental and if it's just, I think you have to go one way or the other, which is you have to kind of get him in there and hope something happens that sparks him and gets him going, or you've got to just, you know, call it a season. And I don't think, you know, I mean, just me, I'm not sure that any team is good enough to give up on a guy that you know can play. And that's the really, really hard part.
I think you need him on the fourth line. I mean, this is going to sound crazy, but think about all the centers you went through in your Stanley Cup final run. And if you get to the point where you lose Johansson again in the playoffs, or you lose Sissons, or you lose Yarncroak, or you lose one of those guys, what are you going to want to do? Bring some guy up from Milwaukee who hasn't played at all? Or do you want to put Kyle Turris in there and hope that a guy who's proven that he's a good player at points in time can go out there and do something for you? So I think they've got to try their hardest to rehabilitate him, to get him to at least be a factor on the team, and hopefully it's a factor on the fourth line. David Poile was asked about this on the midday show yesterday about Kyle Turris. This is what David Poile had to say about it.
We know Kyle Turris is a good player. Looks like he's going to get a chance to get back in there tonight, and hopefully he'll move in the right direction here and get back to playing the way he's capable of.
Well, that's the hope. Again, it's, you know, there's always two sides to a story. There's the what we think of his play and what he thinks of his play, and you know, I guess you probably realize that we probably don't totally agree 100%. If we agreed 100%, he'd probably be back in the lineup, and this would have never happened. So we've just got to keep working together. I mean, what you said is absolutely correct. Kyle is a really good player, and you know, he's had some injuries this year. You know, whether he's been playing with the right people or if it's been any number of things, I mean, our expectations are a little bit higher than that, mostly from just production. I mean, we do talk about a lot of different things, but to me, the thing that we need right now from Kyle is production. I mean, he's always been a sound player defensively, so if he's a plus player and he produces, that should get us back on the same page.
So the way I get it, what I took from David Poile and his kind of what we got to do is just get back to work, is we just got to keep practicing hard, and we're going to keep running Kyle out there, and we're going to see if Kyle can turn the corner.
Yeah, I mean, that interview sounded to me like they've had some discussions, and there's been some, I mean, he's not happy.
Well, we had the quote from Adam Vingan over the weekend where he said, I just need to be able to play my game.
Yeah, well, he's talking about playing with the right people, and, you know, David just mentioned, well, we've talked about being with the right people, so there's more to it than, I mean, he is not happy about what's, where he's playing, how he's playing, how he's being used, or whatever the case may be. And I can understand that. You know, I'm sure he's a prideful guy and all of that. That being said, I mean, and I've been through this with players too. Players often do not see the truth. You know, the truth is what they think. And they think they're really good players, and they think they're able to do these things. And don't you know that I am a, yeah, okay. But right now, you know, as Crispy would say, you need the mirror. You need to look in the mirror, because you are not playing well right now. And that's what we need to get you out of. But this is just me. I mean, I just hear that. It makes me sound like he's struggling to see that.
Well, I do not like the idea of Kyle Turris becoming a locker room problem. And the fact that David Poile has kind of thrown that out there that they disagreed. We had the quote from Turris that we talked about on Monday. And you had Laviolette's answer last week when they benched Turris of, we've had conversations and I'll leave it at that. Like, you know, you wonder if he is becoming a distraction inside the locker room. But my take on it is this. And it is that Kyle, like, it's like I need to mediate this. Get Kyle Turris over here and the Preds over here. And the Preds know this. I don't know if Kyle Turris knows this, but the Preds know this. And that is, we don't have time to sit here and bicker about who you're playing with or why you're not playing well or any of, like, the, you know, is he coming back? We don't have time for this. What we need you to do, what everybody needs you to do, is everybody needs you to just go out there and keep playing hard, because if you are good, which they're paying you like you're good, if you are good, eventually that hard work, you don't forget how to play hockey, eventually that will show through, and you will go out there and perform when it matters, and everybody will be happy again. But the bickering and the disagreeing between you and the team, we don't have time for that. We do not have time for you to sit there and kind of get in the, you know, I'm trying to think of a nice way to, you know, the blank contest with the team. We just don't have time for that. So that would be the way that I would try to tell him, but I'm not sure if that.
Yeah, it's, I mean, this is, in my experience, these
things. How many
times
have you seen something like this?
Yeah, these things are really delicate, simply because he thinks the whole world's against him. If in fact this is the case, And every time you try to tell him what to do, that's more of what he thinks is happening to him. You know, see, we were in there. We were supposed to have a conversation. He ends up telling me what I have to do. That's why you have to help him to do the right thing. And that's, you know, you need to. Yeah, and I think what it's to me, like last night's probably a step in the right direction, although he looked lost. I thought he really looked lost last
night. Yeah, I didn't really notice him. He took one shot that was a nice little rip, and I was like, okay.
He was lost.
And other than that, didn't notice him much. More of your phones. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Our two games, is that enough for us to have a good feeling about the Predators? Or are we a little over our skis in that? We'll get into that coming up next. 615-737-1025. You know what I don't need more of to know how great they are? My Authentically American scrubs. That's right. I've got one pair. I've got black with a little red trim, Louisville colors. You know, hopefully the cards will take care of business. Authentically American has their made in the USA high performance scrubs. That's wrinkle resistant, stain resistant, antimicrobial, moisture wicking, the most comfortable scrubs you will ever wear. If you're a doctor or a nurse or somebody who works in a clinic or a medical sales rep who goes hospital to hospital, or if you own the clinic or run the hospital and you've got to buy mass quantity of scrubs, you need to get Authentically Americans antimicrobial, comfortable, high-performance scrubs. I love my pair. You're going to love yours, too. Again, they feel like workout clothes in scrub form. That is the way it should be. They've got over 20 different colors. They've got different styles, and they're perfect for you. Again, authenticallyamerican.us/scrubs. Again, you want to try that out, authenticallyamerican.us/scrubs. Try them out. If you're a business owner, Authentically American is the place to go for all of your business needs, everything made in the USA. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Tapped ahead now. Predators will come in again. Left wing side, Bonino with Simmons. Bonino now reverses it to a trailing Ellis. Ellis right in front, and they score! Wayne Simmons, his first goal as a Predator.
Players want him. They're proud. They want to come in and they want to play and make a difference. And he's done some really good things for our team. He's been physical. He's fought a couple times and stuck up for his teammates and positive person and influence in the room. And on the ice, he brings a lot of attributes. And he's had some chances around the net and they haven't gone for him. And I think that can start to wear on you a little bit. So it was really nice. That's a good spot for him anywhere, you know, inside of 10 feet, 12 feet, 15 feet. He's got great hands and a great release.
How about Wayne Simmons last night, Floyd, getting into the scoring tally?
Yeah, it was nice. And he was so excited. That was such a, I mean, it got you excited just watching him. I mean, he was almost wetting his pants. You know, I mean, he was just shaking all over. So that was great. You know, that means, that shows you how much it means to him.
For an experienced veteran to have that kind of reaction after he scores a goal, it tells you how much has been weighing on him that he hasn't scored a goal yet.
Yeah, or how many goals he's scored in his career.
It's like, yeah, exactly. You know, you're sitting there saying, hey, you know, this is but it was good, and they need Wayne Simmons. You know, we talked about this yesterday. I don't have a problem with how Simmons is playing, but that's exactly how he's going to score. Ryan Ellis starts to play, pucks in front of the net. Wayne Simmons puts it in. And that's exactly what he's going to have to do. Is three games in a row, and really two good games because L.A. stinks. So two games in a row against San Jose and now Toronto, is that too short of a sample size, too small of a sample size for us to be really excited about the way the Preds are playing, for us to feel really good about how they're playing? Peter LaViolette was asked what he thought about three wins in a row last night, and you'll notice Peter LaViolette in no way answered the question.
Tonight was a real good game. Like the second period, you know, we had it taken to us a little bit. We couldn't seem to get it, you know, through the neutral zone without them countering quickly. We had tired players on the ice and just couldn't get it going. But our gut when that happened, even though we had zone time against us, I thought our guys still did a really good job defensively of just working tired in the defensive zone and doing the right things against a really skilled team. And the first and third period I liked better. That to me was back and forth playoff hockey, but I liked our game a lot better in the first and third.
So LaViolette's asked about winning three in a row and in no way addresses that at all, which right. tells me he doesn't want to talk about that. So you're right. A coach, Floyd. What do you think about Lavi at no point wanting to address this. And what do you think, as far as you're concerned, about, hey, it's three in a row? I mean, they haven't won three in a row in a long time. Or is it too small of a sample size for us to sit there and say, okay, ready for the playoffs, here they go?
Yeah, I mean, if for me, it's too small of a sample size. You know, you're talking about two wins against two good teams. We've got another, whatever it is, three or four coming up here. And I think if we can get through that series, and you're not going to win every game. I mean, I think we can probably count on that. But come out of it feeling really good about the number of wins that you're going to get and how you're playing, then I would say you're ready. Because those the last couple of games this season are, you know, kind of like Anaheim and L.A. You know, they're not going to mean much. But this little stretch through here, I think you're playing playoff caliber teams every night, and this will be. I mean, let's face it. If we lose these two and I mean win these two and lose the next three, nobody's going to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, it's we got a little ways to go, I think, in my mind.
I would agree, but I do think that you're starting to see the remnants of what we want to see the Predators look like in the playoffs. And I start by defense, defense, defense.
I don't think there's any doubt, but that's a giant step in the right direction. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that. You know, would you, you know, at least for me, would you play them? Would you count them as playoff christened? And I would say, no, not yet. But they will be.
What do you think about Laviolette refusing to kind of answer the question there when asked about three wins in a row and saying, oh, yeah, tonight's game, I love what we did tonight, this, that, first period, second period, third period, really good here, really good there, but not addressing the fact that they had won three in a row?
Yeah, I mean, no coach wants to talk about
why?
That. You know,
that is a good accomplishment for this team.
And that gives you something to talk about. But they don't need to be talking about it in the locker room. You know what? It's the next one. We don't care what happened in the past. Next one.
That is a loser mentality, in my opinion. Oh. You got to celebrate what is going on well for your team. And it is going on well for them right now. I mean, I just think back to where we were a week ago, and I was throwing a chair in the living room watching the Anaheim game. And I think this was the show. The Wednesday following the Tuesday loss to Anaheim was really the moment where we were like, they're not very good. You know, they're not good at all. What are they going to do? What's going to – and they've gone out there and they've won three in a row since then. And I think that they probably – you know, as we talk about Crispy's line of look in the mirror, that was probably their look in the mirror game, was the Anaheim game. That must have been like rock bottom for them, where they said, holy moly, if we don't get it together, we're in trouble. And they've gotten it together in three games. So, again, make of it what you want. I think they are turning the corner. I think, especially if they can win these two this week, if they can win these two this week, oh, my God, if they can win these two this week. Oh, God, if they win these two. If they beat Pittsburgh and they beat Winnipeg.
Who's after Winnipeg?
Oh, God,
who cares? There's another one. I think there's another Pittsburgh, isn't there?
No, I think it's Minnesota, and I think it's Pittsburgh. Like,
I think there is Pittsburgh twice.
Yeah, Pittsburgh, I think, is on Thursday, and then the following Friday, I believe that Minnesota is on Monday, and I think Winnipeg is on Saturday. Minnesota might be on Tuesday. I don't know.
Pittsburgh, Winnipeg Saturday, or Pittsburgh Thursday, Winnipeg Saturday, and then Monday's Minnesota, and then Friday's Pittsburgh, and Saturday's Columbus.
Champion of the world, Jared Stillman.
Once you get to Columbus, I mean, I'm not really all that interested.
Columbus is a playoff team,
I know,
theoretically.
I know,
you know, maybe,
but
kind of.
I'm thinking in my mind, if you can get past these, get to the next Pittsburgh after this next one, and you're doing well, then I'm content.
What if
then
they
I'm
don't saying, lose a game between
bring
now
it on.
And then?
Oh, then you're
then you they've turned
great.
The corner.
Oh, yeah.
Then we give them the corner.
Sure.
Coming up next, 615-737-1025 is the number. Coming up next, the Titans have made their big moves in free agency. Pro Football Focus loves it. What does Chris Sanders think about some of these moves? We'll get to that coming up next. Jared and the GM. Hey, the Game Bracket Challenge is back. Sign up and play for your chance to win great prizes. If you create the perfect bracket, you could win $1 million. Now, that all the teams have been selected. Go to thegamenashville.com to fill out your bracket to compete for a chance to win great prizes. The Game Bracket Challenge brought to you by Sudden Service and Volunteer Hose and Gasket. There's no, I really don't like picking on anybody's bracket because, you know, like a somebody at the zoo could, they could take an animal at the zoo who could probably guess as right as the average person in terms of the bracket of the tournament. But I've got, we're going to have our final four picks later today. I've got Floyd's bracket in front of me. I gotta be honest. I think your bracket is terrible, Floyd. So, maybe you'll end up winning. Maybe this will be the first ever perfect bracket. This will be the million-dollar bracket being Floyd's bracket. But I don't really like my bracket, but Floyd's bracket, Chris Sanders joins us next. Are you ripping a chainsaw over there? What are you – what's this going on over there?
Just checking the house. Got some cameras going on. We got to see what's going on.
What's going on at the house?
It's a secret.
Chris Sanders joins us next. Jaren the GM at ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jared the GM, Ohio State, I should say the Ohio State University, having their pro day today. Dwayne Haskins is kind of the main attraction, Floyd. Have you noticed, Todd McShay still has Dwayne Haskins ahead of Kyler Murray. Bucky Brooks at NFL Network still has Dwayne Haskins ahead of Kyler Murray, and yet all the hype is about Kyler Murray going into the draft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Murray's been the hot item, but it seems like the people that have liked this kid from the start still like him.
Haskins, you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah. They can't, Murray can't overtake him.
Now, the Titans are not interested in either of them because they have Marcus Mariota and now Ryan Tannehill. But a former Ohio State great, Chris Sanders, joins us now, presented by Crane Works. Chris, as the Ohio State Pro Day goes on today, I just wonder if you're hoping that some of these players can live up to your legacy as a great Buckeye.
You made me sound good, man. I like you, Jared.
Thank you.
What?
Okay. What do you think? Pro Football Focus says the Titans are the winners of free agency. What do you think about free agency as a whole, and what do you think about the addition of Ryan Tannehill for the Titans?
Ooh, quarterback controversy. I'm trying not to say it. I'm going to skate around a little bit. I mean, but here's the cool part about it. I mean, I'm not trying to go back and, think about some things about him, but look at 1999. Steve McNair was in the same position. The fans were unsure. He got hurt. He hurt his sternum, and then you had Neil O'Donnell, who had a stretch of great games. Now you got a situation with Mariota, who's in the same position to everybody is not sure, but then you have a backup with Tannehill to where he can maybe win the position. But the thing about it is, I just think it's going to make Mariota so much better because I think he's going to have an edge, which he already had an edge, but it's going to propel, and his skill set, I think, is going to improve tremendously. So I think, a lot of people, I looked on the internet, I looked at some Instagrams, a lot of people like, well, Tannehill is injury prone and all that stuff. That's great and everything, but I just think it builds so much competition between each other, and I think it's going to be one of the things we're going to be excited to see when we go to camp.
Chris, what did you make of the free agent haul in general for the Titans? They didn't get any sexy names, but they got a lot of different positions.
Yeah, the one thing I love about it is it fits the identity of what Mike Vrabel is wanting. He wants hard-nosed guys. He wants smart players. And I think a lot of times we as fans, we forget about that. We want the sexy names like Odell Beckham. We want, A.B. That's great and everything, but does it fit our scheme? We went out and got a lineman from the L.A. Rams, Saufold, who's a hard-nosed guy, a guy who blocked for some great running backs. So that's the guy that you want. And then we went out and got, Adam Humphries, who's a receiver that can keep the chains moving. So I just think that they meet their needs. They got some hard-nosed players that are smart and that can contribute and fit the identity of what Vrabel wants to build.
Chris, we've got the Ohio State University Pro Day on. and of course, they're featuring Haskins.
Okay.
What I'm sure you've got a little bit of insight. What do you hear about him that you like?
Oh, he's a great pocket passer. And the one thing that I keep hearing about, what he's doing is he's a guy that doesn't get rattled. And when you have a quarterback that doesn't get rattled, they can make plays under pressure. That's the kind of guy that you need that's going to make the next step to the NFL. And another thing that I'm hearing is that he reads defenses really, really good. If you watch some of the things that he does, he looks off the safety and comes back to the other safety. Looks off the safety and throws back to the other backside receiver. It just shows you he's an advanced quarterback at this time, and he's above. I think he's the best quarterback in this draft.
Does it bother you that Bosa is not working out on his pro day?
No. I think everybody knows what he can do. I think the scouts want to see him now because they want to see if he's 100% healthy. I mean, when you have an injury, when you have a groin injury like that, they want to still see if you're explosive. And I think I'm not saying it's going to hurt him, but I just think that you need to go out there and participate and show the scouts that you're healthy. Show the scouts that I still have that 1-2 step and be explosive and do the things that they saw on tape. So I just think that it's not going to hurt him, but I just think that he should have went out there and did that.
Chris Sanders, former Titans receiver, is our guest, presented by Crane Works. They've been serving the Southeast for over 25 years. CraneWorks.com. Chris,
yes.
Do you – this is a weird question I'm going to have, but do you feel confident – that based upon where the Titans are right now, that John Robinson can fill everything that they are lacking with their 6 draft picks?
Yes. I mean, I feel really confident, especially what they did in free agents. You know, they got a receiver, they got an offensive line, and they got an edge rusher. So now, in my opinion, if I'm John Robinson, I think when I get at 19, I'm going if that edge rusher's there or if he's not there, I'm going for the most – the best available player. And I know when I say this pick, you're going to be like, what are you talking about? But if Greedy Williams from LSU is sitting at 19 and all your edge rushers are gone and all the guys that you expected to be there are gone and Greedy's sitting right there, 9 times out of 10, I would take him.
What if the best player sitting there, though, is like Kyler Murray? I mean, you're not going to draft Kyler Murray.
He ain't going to be there.
I'm just saying, like it's easy to say take the best available player, but if the best available player is a quarterback – well, I mean, you're not going to take a quarterback, are you?
Yeah. I mean, that's a good question. I mean, if he has a chance to fit your scheme and has a chance to help you, if he's the most valuable player, and Floyd can help me with this, if there's a guy that we wasn't expected to be there and he's the most valuable player that we see on our board, you know, Floyd, would you take him?
Oh, yeah, you can't pass up a great player.
Well, just like even if you have a good quarterback or a great wide receiver, just say a wide receiver position, if the best guy's a wide receiver but we still have a couple of receivers in the stall, I would take him.
What do you like about Greedy?
He just got a little nastiness about him. He reminds me of a guy named, you remember Chris Dishman?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we call him Dish Rag because he was so dirty. I mean, hey, he just has a knack for the ball. And the one thing I love that he does, he's just real savvy at what he does. And he plays with a lot of confidence. We always talk about playing with swag, and he plays with that kind of intensity. And the one thing about him is even though he's a cover corner, he's going to hit you in the mouth.
In your mind, I mean, if the corner was there, you would.
Oh, he's gone.
And he's a great player. You would take him.
But yeah,
in your mind, do you think they need a corner?
Yeah, I think they do. The reason why I say this is because, you know, Logan got hurt late in the season. Right. And we don't know if he's going to come back 110%. I know he's the steal of our defense and in that secondary. But just imagine adding a guy to that position. I mean, it just bolsters everything. I mean, it makes your secondary from good to being great. I'm not saying Logan was bad, but, he's hurt because when you have an ankle injury with that severe, you're still going to be a little tentative coming back. So just imagine Greedy Williams from LSU coming in that position. Let's go get him.
We've talked about this before. Do you worry about the tight end with his ankle injury?
Yeah, I do. You know, are you talking about Delanie Walker?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I think – the only thing that I worry about is the mental, you know, because I know he's going to come back physically ready. He already talked about that he's doing some things and, you know, running routes or whatever. But I just think the mental part, because the mental part is something that you got to fight every single day. You're wondering, is somebody going to step on my ankle? Is somebody going to do this? Or if I'm blocking a different technique, can I put the right balance on it? I just think that if he can overcome the mental part, then I think that's a great step forward for Delanie Walker.
Chris Sanders with us. Chris, I think the Titans should go 12-4 next year. I'm tired of waiting for them to be good. Is that ridiculous to think?
Hey, Floyd. Do we have this on tape?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Do we have it on tape?
I'm not predicting 12-4. I'm expecting 12-4.
Because the first time that Mariota throws an interception, oh, that's the worst team in America. They're going to be 4-27.
I'm not predicting they're going to be 12-4.
Okay, let me ask you a question. What makes you think they're going 12-4?
No, it's time. It's time. It's the standard I'm holding them to this year. They should be 12-4. I've had enough of, hey, it's time to build. We got to build. We got to build. It's time for 12-4. I've just decided that. That's how I'm going to look at them and say, time for you to be 12-4.
Hey, just imagine if you was riding in a car, you'd be riding all by yourself because me and Florida jump out.
Chris Sanders, as always. We'll talk to you, Chris.
Thanks, hey, you
Chris.
Take care, guys. Okay,
Chris Sanders joining us weekly, as always, presented by Crane Works. Floyd, any Ohio State guys, and Trevor's going to join us later today, and we'll kind of break down the Alabama Pro Day and the Ohio State Pro Day with Trevor. But is there anybody that you can think of from Ohio State that really jumps out to you? All the big-time Ohio State players this year kind of feel like positions the Titans don't need. Obviously, there's Haskins, and then there's Bosa. There's Parrish Campbell, who I think – or Parris Campbell, who's a speedy wide receiver. Do you see him maybe, or does that not really make a lot of sense for the Titans?
No, I'm not sure it does, but I think it's the same deal. If he's there and you've got the opportunity to take him, you're always going to take him. Mm-hmm. Ohio State, when you go to pro days like this at Ohio State, I mean, you're trying to watch about, you know, 20 kids. I mean, there are so many candidates there, so many prospects that you go through, and what happens, like right now, you can see they're throwing the ball in the red zone. Well, the hard part is probably at the other end of the field, they're doing pass rush, or they're doing pass protection, or they're doing running back, quarterbacks throwing to running backs or something. So it's really, really hard for you to try to see everything, and there's so many good players, you have to try to see it all.
That's got to be difficult.
Oh,
615-737-1025. Belmont gets the big win in the NCAA tournament last night. By the way, there are some haters out there on Twitter saying it doesn't count as an NCAA tournament win because the tournament starts tomorrow. Those guys are haters. But coming up next, what do we think of their win? And was it just a win for Belmont? Or was it a win for all the little guys that are trying to get in as an at-large? We'll get to that coming up next. Jared and Floyd, Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.